Dr. Paul, welcome to With the Wind, Science Revealed. My guest today is the Zen Honeycutt. She's the founder of Moms Across America. Their group did this incredible national school lunch testing for glyphosate, pesticides, heavy metals, hormones, nutrients. They also tested a number of restaurants. This is incredible information. We discuss it. What are the biggest concerns? What can parents do? And what should we do as a society? Dee Dee adds that personal touch, getting to know Zen, that kind of mom-to-mom thing. What are we going to do as parents with this situation? Enjoy the show. Dr. Paul, coming to you from the heart, I wanted to talk today about the healing power of love. I have witnessed in my career times where a seemingly impossible situation, namely some health challenge that looks hopeless, turn around and actually resolve in what seems miraculous, but there was always prayerfulness and love just surrounding the whole situation. I've also seen loving, beautiful energy, like parents who just completely embrace a child and love them so deeply, and yet the child doesn't make it, but the unity and peace and love that comes for that family and what they're then able to do for the world is inspiring. They took a difficult situation and instilled love into it, and it resulted in a beautiful thing. I don't understand the mysteries of why things happen the way they do. But when you surround any situation with love, it just feels right. And maybe we can't totally understand, but we can clearly and always make it better when we use love as it's supposed to be. Please, if you have the opportunity to be faced with a tragedy, my prayer for you is that you just dig deep and love as completely and unconditionally and as with reckless abandon, if you will, everything regarding that situation. I'm Dr. Paul. Welcome, Zen Honeycutt. It's such a privilege to have you on With the Wind.
Thank you so much, Paul. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you to all your viewers and listeners. I so appreciate it.
The topic you bring today is just so dear to my heart and something I'm not as knowledgeable as you are. I remember reading your book, Unstoppable, and wow, you've been at this for a while. So you're the founding executive director of the nonprofit Moms Across America. And with your leaders, you guys have created over 1,000 community events in all 50 states to raise awareness about GMOs, toxins in the food supply, other environmental issues that pose a risk to our health and families. And your mission is to empower moms and others with actions and solutions to create healthy communities. And I'm really looking forward to when we can get into that, because you've been able to get Costco to remove Roundup, I believe.
Yes, our supporters did. We, you know, 80,000 people petitioned Costco. I do have to say it was around the same time that the lawsuit was happening from Baum-Wiesner, Hedlum, and Aristide. Baum, Hedlum, and Goldman. Somebody, I'm sorry, I don't know if I have the names right, but they were suing Monsanto. So that was also very influential in Costco deciding to stop selling Roundup in addition to our petition. So we are very happy about that.
Yeah, that's super. And before we're done, we're going to definitely talk about the Neighborhood Food Network. I think that is an incredible mission that we all need to get behind. I could go on and on about your accolades, but maybe start with your story as a mom and how you started Moms Across America and how you worked with your own kids dealing with a number of issues, I understand, health problems that they were struggling with.
Yes. As I was a doctor, there was a time in my life when all of a sudden my kids had all kinds of allergies and autoimmune issues and asthma. I did vaccinate them, and I also fed them lots of unknowingly GMO food. And I trusted my doctors, and I trusted what was on the grocery store shelves. And then eventually I saw a TED Talk called Patriotism on a Plate by Robin O'Brien. And also Jeffrey Smith was sharing his movie called Genetic Roulette for free that time in 2000. That was about June of 2012. And so at that time, I really didn't know anything about vaccines. I just knew that the food supply had changed and that genetically modified organisms had been in our food system for, at that time, about 17 years, and they were not labeled. Corn and soy and sugar beets, canola, and a few other types of vegetables were genetically modified. And I was horrified to find out that had happened and there was no labeling.
Yeah. I didn't realize that had been going on that long.
Yeah, and that was 12 years ago. It's been a long time now. So anybody that's in their mid-20s, they've been eating GMOs their whole life now. And that's interesting enough how we're seeing a huge rise, or where we're seeing a huge rise in Crohn's and IBS and gut issues is in a lot of young, and cancer in a lot of young people.
Yeah.
And so at the time when I learned about GMOs, I was like, wait a second, they've changed the food. My kids have 21, 22, 20, 19 different food intolerances and allergies. They have holes in their small intestines. Like, all of a sudden, my doctor, who was an autism doctor, because I went to him for spaced out vaccine schedule, I appreciated that he would do that. And his son had autism. And he said, pretty much every kid in America now has leaky gut and gut dysbiosis. Your kids are just lucky to have a mom that tested and found out about it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wait a second, this must be this GMO thing. And later on, I learned more about glyphosate, which we'll get into. And I figured that a foreign protein in their food supply must not be helping the situation. And so we went GMO free, and my son's allergies got dramatically better in 4 months, because when you take care of the gut microbiome, everything can start to improve. And then later on, when my second son had autism symptoms, not autism, just autism symptoms, we went 100% organic, and I'd learned more about glyphosate by then. And I'd learned that glyphosate destroys the beneficial gut bacteria and allows for the proliferation of pathogenic gut bacteria and can trigger the brain cells to, excitotoxins can trigger the brain cells to die, and they can start having inflammation in the brain and autism symptoms. So when I learned about that and shared that with the doctor, it was right around the same time, we realized he needed to be 100% organic, not just dairy-free and gluten-free, but 100% organic and sugar-free as well. So he went sugar-free through the holidays from Thanksgiving to New Year's. And we had tested him for glyphosate, which we'll go more into, but we tested him for glyphosate, which was destroying his gut bacteria. And he had the levels of a farmer when he had the autism symptoms in his urine. Yeah, and that was mostly from bread, because wheat is sprayed with glyphosate as a drying agent if it's not organic. And we took that out of his diet, 100% organic. And 6 weeks later, we retested him and his autism symptoms were gone and his glyphosate levels were no longer detectable. And so we were like, surprise. And
no,
so,
that's not just a surprise. That's shockingly important for our viewers.
Yeah.
That how many kids are suffering from neurological problems and GI problems and allergies and eczema, and you name it. And you did this over just a matter of a few months.
Yes.
To have a complete turnaround in very significant symptoms.
Yes. Yeah. And he had C. diff. He had all kinds of pathogenic gut bacteria. We got him tested. This wasn't just, and his erratic behavior was, he was really out of control, and that calmed down. Now, it did get a little worse before it got better. He had like rashes and all kinds of stuff. And we did give him a little bit of one treatment of antibiotics and fungals, because he had some really nasty antifungals. And we just didn't know better to do gold. We could have done Golden Seal and like some other things, but that's what we did at the time. But I think the really important factor was to not have sugar either, because the sugar, you know, feeds the bad bacteria. And afterwards, when he would have sugar now and then, we noticed a flare up of aggressive behavior. So I think that's really key. And I also think it's super key that people go 100% organic, because, or 100% gluten-free, 100% dairy-free, 100% sugar-free, whatever that is that doesn't work for your child. Because the 80-20 rule doesn't really work. When you think about a campfire, if you put a teaspoon of fuel on the fire, it's not going to go out. You need to stop fueling the fire altogether. And that's what's happening, in my opinion, I'm not a doctor, in the gut is inflammation. And if you want the gut to heal, the whole lining of the gut to restore itself, and for the gut microbiome to be able to do its job, which is to heal the body, then you can really only do that if you stop fueling the fire. So we did that. And in that process, I learned all about GMOs and glyphosate and figured that if this worked for my kids, other people should know about it too. And started Moms Across America because I had an idea to join into 4th of July parades and raise awareness with thousands locally and millions nationally in a single day in a family friendly way, fun and affordable, easily accessible. And it worked. We had 179 groups join into parades. And the first event, there would have been hundreds more, but some of the other groups that we were partnering with got infiltrated by trolls and told them negative things about us. But it was still very successful. And we went on to have 600 leaders, as you mentioned, create over 1,000 events within 5 years after that in all 50 states. I believe that our moms have been a part of really spearheading the movement towards organic and raising awareness about the benefits of a clean, healthy food supply and how they can really heal the gut and heal many different ailments. Like my other son, oh, by the way, when we went 100% organic, the first son that had the allergies that sparked a lot of the interest for me in the food supply, he almost died on Thanksgiving evening when he was 5 from pecans in the stuffing. So we were terrified about the food supply. But when we went 100% organic for my second son who had the autism symptoms, the first son, his allergies went from a 19 down to a 0.2 to nuts. So he no longer has a life-threatening nut allergy. If he eats nuts by accident, he's now an organic, whole food, plant-based diet person. So he eats mostly plant-based, but when he sometimes makes a mistake and eats a cashew dessert, perhaps in a vegan restaurant, which hasn't happened in years, but when it did happen, he didn't have to go to the hospital. He just had a slight rash and felt uncomfortable, which is not what the doctors told us. The doctors told us the more that he's exposed to nuts, the more likely they are to kill him. It's just going to get worse.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of improvements in health just by switching out the food.
This is powerful. For our viewers who may not be as, well, none of us are as versed as you are, but help us understand what GMO is and what are the variety of things. Explain the whole GMO thing.
Sure. Yeah. Great question. And really, really important to understand because the food supply has changed. And many people think, oh, I've been eating this all my life, or my grandparents ate it, or I grew up on these types of noodles or whatever it is. And they really just don't want to believe that there could be any reason to change your behavior. It's too inconvenient. But when you learn about what's going on, it shows that it's really important. Okay. So for instance, the first type of GMO is called the BT toxin. GMO, it stands for Bacteriotherogenesis, and it's a toxin taken from the carcass of a dead grain caterpillar, and they genetically engineer it to constantly reproduce more toxin. So it becomes like a little toxin factory. So then they put that toxin, it goes into the cells of every plant, gets into the seed, and then when the seed grows, it's in every cell of the plant, whether it's the roots of the corn or the stalk or the stem. So when the little corn rootworm comes along and eats any part of that corn, the toxin gets into its stomach, it becomes a little toxin factory, it explodes the stomach, hello, leaky gut, right? Uh-huh. And causes the toxin to get out into the body of the rootworm and it dies. And so that type of BT toxin, genetically engineered, is very harmful. As when it's used in organic production of food, it's not genetically engineered to be a little toxin factory. It just dissipates and dies out within about 4 hours. So it kills off the rootworms and stuff around tomatoes or corn or whatever, and then it dies out. It's not harmful to human beings. But when it's genetically engineered, it is. So that type of BT toxin, interestingly enough, just a few years ago, the EPA did a recall on 40 different types of GMOs. I believe they were BT toxin GMOs. And I think that is correlate with all the stockpiles of corn and soy that weren't getting sold, right, to China, and food that was not being shipped other places and farmers producing that were making this food and it's not being used or they're preventing us from growing it. I would really ask those farmers, the ones that were told they can't grow certain foods, is it the BT toxin? Because I think that the government has since figured out that this stuff is causing holes in people's stomach. And I'm not sure because I don't have the documentation on that. That's just my theory. So
Is toxin in more than corn?
I believe it's only corn, but okay. I'm not sure about that. Right now, I just know it's corn for sure.
Yeah.
But I know that there are like 400 different kinds of GMO, different variants of GMOs, different types of foods. They really have expanded them a lot. Okay, so the second type of GMO is called HT, or herbicide tolerant. The first one was BT. Second one is HT, herbicide tolerant, otherwise known as Roundup Ready. 80% of these GMOs are engineered to withstand Roundup. And Roundup is a glyphosate-based herbicide. There's 750 different types of Roundup brands. They're not known Roundup, Ranger Pro, different glyphosate brands. And so that type of crop is genetically engineered to withstand the spraying of glyphosate. And that means that an airplane or a tractor can fly over the crop and spray the entire crop in the field for glyphosate, and the crop will not die, but all of the weeds around it will. Everything around it dies. It kills every living thing it touches. So it kills the bacteria in the soil. It kills the weeds. It kills the worms. Within like 30 minutes, I believe it makes earthworms like completely incapable of functioning. And so it really does a lot of damage. And they were originally told that it dissipates in the soil. It goes away and it's not a problem. That is not true. Okay. And the problem with this is that the plant might be Roundup ready and might be able to still grow, but human beings are not Roundup ready. And the Roundup gets on the plant and it does not wash, dry, or cook off. And we consume those residues. And when we consume those residues, there is a myriad of harmful impacts on human beings, including it's carcinogenic, it is an endocrine disruptor, it causes liver and kidney disease. It is a neurotoxin. It causes nervous system damage, and it has all kinds of reproductive effects besides just endocrine disrupting, which is hormones, which affects the whole body, right? The reproductive effects include damaging sperm in four different ways, the mobility, the quantity, the form, and the function of the sperm. And it also causes baby girls to be androgenized when the mothers are exposed to glyphosate in the womb, whether they eat food that's sprayed with glyphosate or they're living in a farming area where glyphosate is being sprayed. The baby girls had their anogenital distance lengthened, which is a sign of masculinity when the mothers were exposed to glyphosate. So there are about 40 different Western modern diseases that have been connected to or correlated to the exposure to glyphosate, which is the most widely used herbicide in the world. 280 million pounds of it a year are sprayed in the United States just on the food supply, and 20 million pounds are sprayed in our parks and playgrounds. So that's the second type of GMO, is the one that's genetically engineered to withstand the herbicides. And it's not just glyphosate, right? There could be dicamba, 2,4-D, atrazine is actually a pesticide, but all kinds of other chemicals that are used in industrial farming. And these are only used on non-organic crops, okay? Except for the weed killing, except for glyphosate being used as a drying agent. This is not GMOs, but glyphosate can be used as a drying agent on wheat and peas and beans and legumes, different types of grains that are dried. If they're not organic, they are very likely sprayed with glyphosate as a drying agent. And that
I was aware of the wheat and the sugarcane fields, but I didn't know it was going to be on beans as well.
Oh yeah, beans and peas. The lab that we use to test a lot of our products, Health Research Institute lab, John Fagan, said that one of their clients had very high levels. I think it was 31 parts per billion of glyphosate in his urine. And they called him and asked him, say, we've never seen levels this high. What do you eat? And he started saying, oh, I eat a lot of healthy stuff. I eat this, I eat that. I eat mung beans every day. And they're like, mung beans? Are they dried mung beans? He's like, yeah. And they're like, are they organic? And he said, no. And he said, try cutting those out and let's retest you in a week. And they did, and his glyphosate levels had dropped 50%. I think it may not even have been a week. It might have been 3 days, but in a very short time, his glyphosate levels dropped. So they can be on dried beans and peas and like in soups, if things like that, if it's not organic. Glyphosate gets into pretty much every meal that we eat. If you're eating grains, it's been found in dairy, eggs. So mostly the grains, pasta, bread, crackers, things like that. Yeah. And then the third type of GMO, hang on one more second. The third type of GMO is the type of GMO that has nothing to do with pesticides or herbicides. It is genetically engineered to have a desired trait. So I call them to follow suit DT GMOs or desired trait, or they're also known as CRISPR or gene drive. And those types of GMOs are genetically engineered to have a desired trait, such as salmon that would grow four times fatter, four times faster, and be sterile. or potatoes that are not supposed to brown, but they are rotting. You just don't see the browning. So you can smell them rotting, but they don't look like they're rotting. And these are Simplot potatoes that are used in McDonald's and other types of restaurants. And Arctic apples, which don't brown when they're cut. So they turn off that mechanism that shows browning, but they still are declining in freshness, right? So you just don't see it. So the problem with these types of GMOs is that the genetic engineering for a desired trait isn't like a Lego. They want it to be like a Lego where you take a green Lego out and put a red one in, and there's just like that one compartmentalized change that has happened. That's not what happens in nature, right? If you put a drop of oil in a pond, it goes out and affects the dragonflies and the fish and the weeds and everything, right? It affects, we're a holistic system. So when they do this with this type of genetic engineering, it causes thousands of off-target mutations, meaning changes happen in the rest of the body of this organism that they did not intend to have happen. Now, I don't know about you, but I've got enough to worry about with my kids with inappropriate social media and sports and homework and all of that. I don't need to worry about off-target mutations happening in my eating this food. So I don't want this in my food. I don't want it lit. If it's going to be there, I want it labeled, but I don't think this should be in any human being's food. I think it's too unsafe. It hasn't been tested enough. The preliminary tests have shown off-target mutations, and we don't know what the impact of that is or are, what those impacts are. So I'm very concerned about all three types of GMOs.
Wow. And it seems like it's almost all foods anymore, right? It's just like...
A lot, yes. And anything that's not organic, GMOs are not allowed in organic foods. Some countries like Japan are not including CRISPR and a gene drive GMOs as GMOs. So they're not labeling GMOs over there anyway. But a lot of people are very concerned. There's a soybean oil called Calyx that is CRISPR gene edited. There's mushrooms that I believe they're on the market right now, brown mushrooms that are CRISPR gene edited. And I don't know the extent of the other foods that are out there right now, but there are some yellow squash, some zucchini, some pineapple. There's a pink pineapple. The tomatoes came off the market because they genetically engineered them with fish and they became too mushy. They were trying to make them so that they could withstand the cold with some type of cold-blooded fish. But people didn't like the quality of the tomatoes, so they took those off the markets. Yeah, and unfortunately, every type of administration has not required them to be GMO, whether the Republicans or Democrats, they have not required labeling.
Yeah.
They've been heavily influenced by industry.
So what prompted me to get you on the show actually was when I read this report about the research you conducted with school lunches. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you could speak to that a little bit, because parents are sending their kids off to school and kids are eating these school lunches. It's subsidized, so it's either free or reduced cost. And what did you find?
Yeah, the school lunches we tested because there are over 30 million school lunches that are served each day to our children, breakfasts and lunch. And we thought that this is a huge impact. It creates a huge impact on our children's health. And so what we found is that over 93% of these school lunches tested positive for glyphosate. And I just talked about all the health ramifications of that. That is extremely concerning, especially it's also shocking because when other organizations tested, like the Detox Project tested grocery store food, we've also tested grocery store food. We initiated the first glyphosate testing back in 2013. And since then, lots of organizations have tested, and we're very happy that's happening. But this Detox Project tested grocery store foods, and only 60% of them were positive for glyphosate. And when the Canadian Food Inspection Agency tested 7,800 samples, they found about the same number. 60% of the grocery store samples were positive for glyphosate. And these are non-organic, maybe 10, 20%, like slight contamination of organic in some cases, not all of it. But so to have over 93% positive for glyphosate in school lunches, it's like we are giving our kids the worst of the worst. And this is when they're developing, their bodies are growing. This is a really important time to keep their food clean. We also found 74% of the samples contained at least one of 29 different harmful pesticides. And some of them were 6 or 7 in one sample. And we all know what happens when you put vinegar and baking soda together, right? In second grade to make a volcano, right? There's a reaction. The problem is that the government is not testing for that type of reaction. They call it synergistic reaction for 6 or 7 different pesticides in one food sample. No, nobody's doing that. They're not looking at what the harmful impact could be when you put these different chemicals together and then put them inside of a child's body. We also found that there were 4 veterinary drugs and hormones found in, I believe it was, 9 school lunch samples, and some of them at very high levels, up to 130 parts per billion. And at the time of the testing, which was last year, we didn't realize it because we're a very small nonprofit and we don't have a research team the way we really could or should. But when we did the fast food testing, which I'll talk about in a little bit, we realized that one of those veterinary drugs and hormones that we found in fast food, called narcobazine, it's an anti-parasitic, and they're used in meat birds for a very common chicken disease. I'm not saying it properly, but it's something like coccocytis. It's something like that. It's with a lot of C's. And it's an anti-parasitic, but it's also an aviary contraceptive. It prevents birds from laying eggs. So it can only be used in meat chicken birds, not in egg-laying chickens. So that narcobazine, aviary contraceptive, was found in one fast food chicken sandwich, but it was found in 4 samples of school lunches out of the 43 school lunch samples that we took, 10% of the school lunches. And 3 of them were chicken products, and 1 of them was beef. So after the fact, we realized this is very shocking information that our children are consuming an aviary contraceptive. Goodness knows what it's doing to their bodies. And then we found 100% of the school lunch samples had heavy metals in them at levels up to 6,293 times higher than what the EPA allows in drinking water.
Wow.
This very high levels of cadmium, for instance, which is very carcinogenic. And arsenic was found in many of them. Mercury was found in all of them. Lead was also found in them. This is a major problem. If some other country was doing this to our children, we would be at war with them, right? This is a criminal problem that's happening. Then a majority of the food samples were abysmally low in nutrients. And we did more research on this with the fast food testing. And this is a major problem because vitamin B9 and B12 are critical, and B3 for the prefrontal cortex brain function to be able to make good decisions. And that we found, we didn't test the school lunches for them because I wasn't aware of this problem at the time, but we tested fast food for them. But so we can talk more about the fast food samples, but do you have any questions for me now about the school lunches?
No, that is just to highlight what you said. We are poisoning our children. And this last point you made of nutrients, we often hear, and you can speak to this more, that I can't do organic, it's so expensive. But when you look at the nutrient density of non-organic food, this GMO, all these other products that people are buying, and we're talking magnitudes of 1/10 or even 1/100 the nutritional value, is that correct? What's the magnitude of difference in the nutrients?
I don't have the exact number for you right now, but it's so low that Dr. Don Huber looked at the numbers and said that he would be embarrassed to call that food.
There you go.
Yeah. It's not shocking. It's like almost non-existent minerals and nutrients. And the lab owner said about the fast food, which by the way, I'm bringing up because as we were testing for school lunches for these contaminants and minerals, we discovered that the suppliers of school lunches are fast food companies.
Yeah.
And I was really disturbed to find that out. And when you think about it, common sense wise, it makes sense because fast food has distribution all across the country. And you would think, oh, from a business standpoint, that would make sense for them to team up. But from a nutritional sense, this is just embarrassing. And I think that's one reason why it's not commonly known, because it is embarrassing. So when the lab owner saw the results that came back from the fast food, which we'll talk about, he said, which are the suppliers for school lunches, he said that there was actually more toxins in these samples than there are nutrients.
Yeah. And the lack of nutrients is what makes organic food such a value, right? Because you eat an organic carrot or broccoli or whatever it is organic, you're getting, it could be 10 or 100 times more nutrients. you just cannot get your nutrients from
the added. You mean the added nutrients, the additional, right. So organic food can have higher nutrients for sure. Some may not because the soil maybe was used for industrial farming 10 years ago. Maybe it still needs some remediation. So we have to be fair about that. Biodynamic and regenerative organic farming will definitely have higher nutrients. I mean, maybe not across the board, but we did test some, like for instance, black beans, and the regenerative organic black beans were higher in most of the nutrients, maybe not all of them, but in most of them. It does depend, but you definitely are getting less toxins when you eat organic food, for sure. Yeah. And most likely will be getting more nutrients.
More nutrients. Before we run out of time, because I want to have you share a few minutes with Dee Dee, talk about the fast food and what you wanted to share there. And then I definitely want you to talk about your neighborhood food network. I think that's a huge solution to our problem.
Yeah. So a quick summary, just because you already heard so much about the school lunches, the fast food samples were 100% positive for glyphosate, more than 93%, 100% positive for glyphosate. They were 100% positive for heavy metals. And the highest levels of glyphosate were surprisingly in Panera Bread and Arby's. Yeah. And we think that's because of the bread products, the sandwiches. They use a lot of wheat. So we have asked them to put glyphosate on their no-no list. They have been good about getting some chemicals out of their food. We have a petition on Moms Across America. We ask you to please sign that. We also found, as I said, 100% of them positive for heavy metals. The highest levels of heavy metals of cadmium, in fact, was found in In-N-Out French fries. And In-N-Out is also supposed to be a healthier version of fast food. And so we were very sad to see that. And Jack in the Box had 970% higher levels of cadmium than what the EPA allows in drinking water. Sonic Cheeseburger had 912% higher amount of lead than is allowed in the EPA allows in drinking water. Very concerning levels. Also, the food contained veterinary drugs and hormones. And as I mentioned earlier, Chick-fil-A had the narcarbazine, the veterinary aviary contraceptive. And so that was extremely concerning. And that took off on TikTok. That went viral. They also had very low nutrient levels. For instance, if you wanted to get your recommended daily intake of vitamin B3 sandwiches, as a man, you'd have to eat 380 Chick-fil-A sandwiches in one day. As a woman, I'd have to eat 333.
That's a lot of sandwiches.
That's a lot of Chick-fil-A sandwiches. And you'd have to eat 9 servings of their chicken nuggets to get your recommended daily level of zinc, which is important with children with autism, especially zinc and copper are important to be balanced in children with autism. So the levels of minerals were so low that you really couldn't call it food. I call it the high cost of cheap food, right? Is that you really, if you were to be paying for your nutrients, you would be paying way more for fast food. You would have to buy, like I said, hundreds of sandwiches or 70 different meals in order to get the nutrients that you think you're paying for. That's very misleading for these fast food companies. Also, what was disturbing was that the impossible food samples, this impossible food breakfast sausage sandwich in the Starbucks breakfast sandwich and in the Burger King burger, the impossible food sample had twice the amount of glyphosate than their meat counterparts. So for impossible foods to be saying in any way, shape, or form that your products are safer is completely untrue when you look at it from the glyphosate perspective. Yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up for the fast foods. We could dive into it more, but the harmful pesticides, 76% were positive for harmful pesticides. Again, many of the samples, 6 different types of pesticides in one sample. And we're talking about, and also industrial chemicals. We found a central nervous system depressant, a drug, in 47% of the samples. The press release is going out about this soon. And that is a central nervous system drug that causes combativeness, causes aggression. And so I am very concerned about the American population driving around in cars and arresting people, policemen and teachers and our neighbors and our babysitters, eating a fast food meal with butanediol in it, and then behaving in an aggressive manner. We have more violence in America than anywhere in the world. We do not need to be consuming these types of chemicals.
Yeah, so true. So with all that lovely news, it's enough to I can't take it anymore.
It's grainy.
You do have good solutions. You've already said it, eat organic. and stay away from GMO altogether. But yes. Talk a little bit about your Neighborhood Food Network program.
Sure. Yeah, you can go to and learn how to start your own Neighborhood Food Network. The mission is to create national food security one street at a time. And we also add in community and health and all of that. And it was sparked partially because of the concerns about a national catastrophe, power outages and things like that for whatever reason, and fires and things like that that have really threatened food security. And so we support people getting to know their neighbors, and we have a whole tools and techniques and a thing you can click on to add into your calendar what you should be planting and when. And we encourage people to share food with their neighbors and get to know their neighbors, because regardless of whether there's a national catastrophe or not, food brings people together. But if there is a natural catastrophe, it only takes 9 missed meals for a person to resort to violence to feed their family. And as a mother, I'd say probably 5. You want to get to know your neighbors, to have them be partners and to be supporting each other rather than being adversaries in the face of a catastrophe. And in the face of a catastrophe or a power outage, the only people that can help you are your neighbors. It's not going to be your Facebook group, right? That the power is going to be out or whatever. So that's very important to consider and to start planting those seeds of partnership with your neighbors by doing things like sharing food. And also, we need to come together. The whole COVID thing and all of that really separated and divided us and really fostered a whole new wave of mental illness in people. And when you come together, people don't care if you are a Republican or a Democrat or a Tea Party or Green Party, if you are sharing a basket of peaches with them. Food brings people together. Doesn't matter what your points of view are. We really encourage you to go to neighborhoodfoodnetwork.com and to learn more about the Neighborhood Food Network and start growing food. It is incredibly empowering and joyful and amazing. I really do encourage you to do it just for that reason alone, that if you want to be happy, plant some seeds.
I love that idea. And in closing, for my part, what's the most important message you want to leave with people, and how can people support your work?
Oh, thank you. Buy organic as much as possible, please. Cut out the sugar. And if you feel like wheat is a problem for you, try ancient grains first, organic ancient grains first, because you may not be actually allergic to the gluten. You may just have a reaction to glyphosate. So try the organic grain first and support your local farmers and buy organic, regenerative organic as much as possible. You can find out more about us by going to momsacrossamerica.org. We're also on TikTok, Rumble, Instagram, Facebook, X, all of that stuff. So we hope that you will come on our Moms Connect calls on Monday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern time, where you can talk to me personally and with our supporters and our networks all across the country.
Awesome. I'm going to bring on another mom to chat with you for a few minutes.
Okay.
Thank you, Zen. Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Paul. I really appreciate you.
Hi, Zen. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Dee.
Hopefully I won't ask too many questions that Doc already asked, but so can you explain what your background is? I didn't hear you mention, are you a doctor? I'm just a mom in this. When we talk about the freedom movement, I'm just a mom. That's all I am. Who are you in that?
That's a lot, though. Being a mom is a lot, because you have to be basically like, there's a phrase that says a worried mom does better research than the FBI. We are high level researchers is what we are. If you're a mom in this day and age, my background is actually, I went to an excellent private boarding school. I've been to type A, an overachiever for a long time. And then I went to Parsons School of Design. I became a fashion designer. Did that for 7 years. And then I ran a natural wellness company. I segued making products, baby blankets and heating hearts and lavender sachet, all this natural stuff using my fashion design skills. Wow. Into making a line of products, selling lavender products, because I learned about parabens in the water supply. And I had a little boy at that time that I did not want to be affected by endocrine disrupting chemicals. So I segued into a natural wellness company, and I created that company. I did that for 7 years. And then when it got to a point where I would have to be spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on insurance and getting those products into stores rather than selling them at booths, I closed that company. And 6 months later, I paid attention to my kids' allergies and health issues. And then 6 months later, I started Moms Across America. So I have no background for running a nonprofit, for science research and writing and all of that. But I did have an excellent education when I was in high school. It was really like college level education. I have been researching for a very long time, and I have a wonderful team of advisors and farmers and scientists and research and lawyers and doctors from all around the world, actually, that support me with having information that to get out to the public. And I just happen to have, I think I'm happy to have the ability to be able to convey that information in a way that the mainstream public can receive it. And I'm very honored, feel honored and privileged to be able to do that.
That's awesome. And so much of that obviously comes from being a mom too, because like you said, if you're trying to figure things out for your own kid, you end up doing so much more than most people even realize. So how old are your children and how many do you have?
My sons are 20, 18, and 15, three boys.
Awesome.
Yep. And two out of three of them haven't had to go to a doctor more than maybe once in the past 9 years since we've, or 10 years since, actually, yeah, about 10, 11 years now since we've gone organic.
And are they vaccinated by a CDC schedule or?
The first one was, except for he didn't do all the way up to the 17-year-old stuff. I think we stopped with him when he was nine. And he's the one that had the most health issues. And the second one got, I would say, half or maybe one third of the vaccines. And then the third one got a few, the least amount of them. And when all three had 20-something different food allergies and gut dysbiosis, and I'm sure now were definitely affected by vaccines. It was not just the food. It was also the vaccines.
Right. And again, the vaccines, just what's in them can generally weaken, right? So then anything else is...
Oh, we tested also five childhood vaccines and found all of them to be positive for glyphosate. It was shocking because when we tested 20 samples of Pediasure feeding tube liquid, only six of them were positive for glyphosate. So I never assumed that all of the childhood vaccines would be positive for glyphosate. But I did, when I saw the ingredients, somebody posted the ingredients of vaccines when my son was nine. So this was after I had started Moms Across America. And I saw the ingredients and I saw, oh, bovine serum, chicken serum, different types of lactose and sucrose and all of that. I was like, glyphosate doesn't wash off. And these animals are eating the grain sprayed with glyphosate. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be getting into their tendons. And Monica Kruger from Germany actually tested and found that there was glyphosate in the animal tendons. And it was getting into the vaccines through the gelatin that is ground up tendons that ate the glyphosate spray grains, and gelatin's used as a stabilizing agent. So the highest amount was found in the MMR vaccine of glyphosate. So I believe it is strongly linked to the rise of autism.
And just listening to you talk to Dr. Paul about everything, I'm like, I'm grossed out just hearing that. But I think that's the thing is that's what is so amazing about you and your program is that this is an opportunity for people to read, because not everybody has time to figure out all of those things that are happening. There's a lot of, you know, moms that will say, which is my next question, is so many people will say, moms, I feel really bad about that, but I don't have time to make healthy lunches, or I don't have the money to buy organic. We hear all kinds of, and I won't just call them excuses. They are reasons for people that, hey, I can't do this. So that's knowing where you started and where you are. What do you say to some of those reasons, or to a young single mom that has three children and she's just trying to keep food on the table? What can you say to her if all of her children have all these allergies, but she says she can't do anything about it?
Oh, she absolutely can. I have seen in my children, they can now eat wheat and dairy and eggs and nuts. We don't purposely have my son eat the nuts, but the other foods, they all eat them as long as they're organic. But you do have to heal the gut first. So you do have to go through a period of cold turkey, 100%, not having those offending foods and paying attention to the gut microbiome. And it is hard. I will say it is hard. Okay. The kids kick and scream and there's a lot of complaints about wanting their sugar or wanting their dairy or wanting their wheat and all of that. But if you don't have it in the house, they can't eat it. So you are in charge. They will eventually eat. They may go on a little strike for a day, but they're not going to kill themselves or starve because they didn't have the non-organic chicken nuggets. You can make organic chicken nuggets. So I would highly encourage you just to gird yourself. You just use your grit in partnership with your kids. And what I did was ask my son, do you want to someday be able to eat a slice of pizza at a birthday party? And he thought about it. He was nine and he said, yes. And I said, then would you be my partner in your health? Would you drink green drinks and try acupuncture and change up your food a little bit? And he's yes. And I said, then I promise you, you will get better. And I didn't know how at the time, but right. He did. We went 100% organic, or first was just non-GMO and then 100% organic, and cut out the gluten and cut out the dairy and cut out the sugar, MMR vaccine. And there are substitutes now. There's a lot more substitutes for those types of things than there were back 12 years ago. And so I urge you to consider that you can do it.
And do you have that kind of support system on your website? Because again, I'll share that with some of these parents that come to me for wellness coaching. And they're like, yeah, you're right. There's all these substitutes, but they're more expensive. And I'm on, you know, a set income and I just can't afford to feed my kids that way. Again, there's other options, but where do they get that education? Can they go to your website to get that?
Yeah. So we have on our website frequently asked questions. First of all, just the steps to go through. My child has behavioral issues or allergies. What do I do? And we go through the steps of things to do. And then we also have on, I believe it's under preschool. What we did was we costed out what it costs for snacks and things for preschool. And we showed that we came out under budget. Mm-hmm. And we also have on our, there's an article called what can we do about school lunches? And we have an example of if you cut out buying the soda and the potato chips and the candy bar, we costed it out. You can switch out in 1 week of groceries, take out $130 worth of costs by cutting out all this different types of junk food. And you can buy organic food for school lunches, which would cost about $130. I believe that's just what I remember right now. And so you can take certain foods out, sodas and the junk foods, and put in the basic ingredients for organic food and make rice and beans your best friends. Organic rice and beans have a lot of nutrients in them and go a long way and have supported thousands of cultures across the world in eating healthy and growing and developing in healthy ways. There's a lot of things we just need to maybe cut back on the meat because it is very expensive when it's organic and add in more vegetables and spicy things. Think about how simply the Indian culture, right? They has eaten for many lentils, right? Organic lentils and spices that taste great. You don't miss meat when you're eating spicy food, curries and things like that. And it can be very tasty and rewarding and very healthy to eat healthier food like that, organic.
And obviously as an adult and everything I've been through with allergies, I'm fully on board and have had to make some of those changes. But again, what can you share and say to, excuse me. And I love that you have that on the website because again, here's this next mom that says, I can't get, and I've heard other kids say at school when my child was in school, and Ryder was teased for bringing like homemade lunches in. It's, oh my God, doesn't your mom love you enough to let you get school lunch? Why can't you eat the pizza that we eat or the junk that we eat or whatever? Because I didn't let him. Now he drinks soda now that he's on his own. But so if a child says to a parent, I get teased for having healthy food at school, what are you going to come back with?
I'm going to say what's more important, your body and your health and feeling clear and doing well at school and being able to focus or what other people think of you.
So yeah. A teenage boy is going to say, what other people think of me? And I do want to eat chips and I do want to drink and the school lunches, that's the thing that gets me is just getting this, being able to buy school lunches. And again, like Doc shared, a lot of times for a lot of these parents that are maybe lower income, it's free for them to get lunch at school. So yeah, but I think that's part of the challenge. Is there something they can do with school lunches? Can a parent go and say, hey, my child needs to eat at school. Can you help make it healthier?
They would need to basically take that on as almost a part-time job. It is a very big deal to get the school to switch over the foods. It can be done. There's a company called School of Lunch that trains school food directors to bring in local organic foods. So there are people, there's another company called Turning Green that did that with their local schools in Marin County. Mm-hmm. So there are people that are getting the school lunch food to be switched over. But in the meantime, I would say, please buy organic, the things that you most eat organic. So if your child eats bread every day or pasta every day, at least switch those out to be organic, okay? And cut back on the sugar and the processed foods. Make your own granola bars organic at home instead of buying a bunch of store-bought granola bars. Put fruit in your child's, organic fruit in your child's school lunch instead of letting them get the fruit from the school, which is going to have probably 52 different pesticides on it. Some of the highest levels were in the fruit from the schools.
Right.
And I would also ask the children to look at how do they feel after they eat the school lunches compared to when they eat organic food at home. And I did that with my son. And he noticed that on Fridays when he got the school lunch, this is back when he was in maybe fourth grade, he noticed actually after a while that he was come home on Friday and be combative. He would be aggressive and he would lose his Saturday morning cartoon privileges as a consequence. And after a few weeks of that happening and him noticing that, because I point out, you think maybe it has something to do with eating those school lunches? And at first he denied it. And then after a few times he realized, oh yeah, that's what it was. And having that awareness really has them choose more responsibly for themselves. And when you have kids that suddenly, if they're throwing a fit, right? Do you think they might have something to do with the sugary stuff you just ate or with the red food dyes or with the whatever it is, that food you did? Have them notice how they feel and do an experiment with them. Have them try. How about we try a week where you bring organic school lunches to school and you see how you feel after you come home? You might be less tired. You might be able to go to your friend's house and have more fun, right? You might not get in a fight with your sister and lose your privileges. Let's just see. Let's just try it. Kids are always up for making a deal. So I would make a deal with your kids and make a deal with yourself and make it easy on yourself by not having that food in the house.
And that's the biggest piece is, and I think like you just said, whether it's a challenge to the kiddo or not, which kids love challenges, but the comparison part. So even if what I had shared with one mom to do is when there's a 4-day weekend of no school, so they're eating at home, all organic, all healthy, no gluten, no dairy, and just say, hey, we're going to eat this way. And then when you get back to school, go ahead and do your lunches and things, and then let me know how you feel. And it was clear, but you have to be able to compare. They have to have the time where, again, if somebody's just going to say, I don't have time or I don't have the money or whatever, then that's sad for me because it's the kiddo that's going to suffer from that. Yes. So do you have any research? Because one thing I want to point out with a lot of times I'll hear from parents, I just can't get them to eat any better. They're going to eat that way. They're teenagers. They're just going to do what they want to do. They're going to find the foods that they want to eat. And there's really not much more I can do about it. I think that it is okay and important to point out to kids the long-term health conditions and issues. Maybe it doesn't bother them right now. Maybe it's not. But down the road, sugar and certain things have been known to cause cancer. So do you have any of that kind of information? No.
Actually, I would think a little bit differently. Kids don't think long-term. They think they're invincible. They don't care about developing cancer when they're 20, if they're 7 or 9. They care about right now and how they feel right now. And I'm going to tell you a story. And I wanted to mention it was with Dr. Paul, but I forgot when we were talking about vitamin Bs. There was a mom who was a Moms Across America supporter. And she called to let me know that when her son was 9 years old, he had mental health issues. Okay. 1 out of 5 people in America now have mental health issues. And this child had mental health issues and she asked the school for help and they wouldn't give him help. And then they called her one day and said, you need to come pick up your son from school because he just threatened to blow up the school with a bomb and kill everybody in it. And she said, I told you he had mental health issues and I need help. So they said, okay, we'll send him to a psychiatrist. They did. The psychiatrist assessed him and said, your son, he gave him an SSRI. And she said, really? That's it? What about other things? What about the side effects? And he said, it's either this or you feed him organic food, because they had discussed that he was eating the sad American diet, standard American diet, right? Chips and hot dogs and pizza and all that stuff. And so she went organic. And within 2 weeks, the school teachers were calling her saying, whatever you did, keep doing it. This is a completely new human being within 2 weeks. And she said she was calling me because it was the day after the Florida shootings. Remember those? And she said, I know that my son, he's now 17, and I know that he would be one of those kids going out and buying a gun and shooting the kids up at his school. But he is not going to do that because he's eating organic. He's healthy. He's even supporting community gardens and all of that. And I said, you know what you did? You gave your son a new future. Mm-hmm. That was not the future he was going to have. And in fact, you gave everybody at your son's school a new future because they're not suffering trauma. And you might have even given the country a new future because your son might run for office or invent something or create a service that makes a difference for millions of people. So what you want your children to look at is how do they feel? How do they perform? Are their friendships better when they don't feel cranky and irritable? Do they do their schoolwork better? Do they play their sports better? If they admire athletes, do they really think athletes are eating McDonald's food? No. an Olympic athlete is not eating a whole bunch of McDonald's food. Right. They are healthy, superfoods, organic. Ask them to look at who are their heroes in life and what type of habits do they have? And do you think they really are eating a whole bunch of junk food? No. Barbara Reed Stitt also wrote a book called Food and Behavior, The Natural Connection. Mm-hmm. And she showed that in that book that the criminals, serial killers, parole and high school dropouts, all the people that were criminals in the world had one thing in common. And it was not their socioeconomic background. It was not their race or that they lived in urban cities. It's whether they were black or white or rich or poor or whatever race or gender, they bragged that they lived on junk food. And they had low deficiencies of vitamin B3, vitamin Bs in their brain, which I talked about with Dr. Paul. And when they got supplements and minerals, the recidivism rate switched. Instead of 70% going out of prison and coming back, 70% went out and stayed out. And in high school, instead of 500 kids dropping out of a school of 5,000 people, only 14 dropped out. And in prisons, there was like a 50 to 70% reduction in aggressive behavior within a couple of weeks when they got the right vitamins and minerals and supplements. Now, in food, there was a study out of Germany that showed that there were hamsters. There was a drop in the population of hamsters on a cornfield, monocrop cornfield. We know what that means, right? Mm-hmm. The soil was like sand. There was no nutrients in it. Was most likely GMO, but it was definitely sprayed with pesticides and herbicides. And the hamster population was declining, they discovered, because of a very disturbing behavior. The mother hamsters were cannibalistic. They were eating their young on the first day of life. And when they tested those hamsters, they found them to be completely devoid of one vitamin, B3. And when they administered vitamin B3, the cannibalistic behavior stopped. Stopped. So what if our human population simply has a vitamin B deficiency in the violent population, and that could be supported or reduced. The violent behavior could be reduced by having nutrient-dense food.
And that's the key. And you just, so when you came back at what I said about talking about something long-term, I'm talking about teenagers because but you brought up something, we have absolute control over our children, I believe, until middle school. As far as what they bring, what they do, what they eat, so forth. And you're right. That age group, you're not going to say anything about long term. And you shouldn't have to, because once again, the parent has control over that. It's their responsibility, and they're the one that's held accountable for how they feed their child. So I think that's the thing we talk a lot, because I work with infants, is starting organic, even with baby food, and just constantly watching those things as they grow. You're not going to have those issues, because even then, when they turn a teenager, like my son did, he still craved the healthy things. He, even though he got excited about being able to have some control over pop or chips or whatever, he still knew that, yes, there was a difference. And he would tell you, like you just said, I don't feel as good when I eat those things. And I know that, but I still like them and I'm still going to eat them. But again, my question though is, do you have any research or know where to go for any research on that?
On the long term?
Yeah.
We have hundreds of studies. Yes. I'm sorry, I didn't answer that. We have hundreds of studies on moms across America showing glyphosate is carcinogenic and that these toxic chemicals cause things like sperm to be destroyed and reproductive organs to be harmed and miscarriages and liver disease and kidney disease and nervous system damage and neurological damage. There are hundreds and hundreds of studies now, maybe even thousands, showing the effects of these toxic chemicals on human beings and animals.
And you have that on your website.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's called data. Yeah, everything that we write and everywhere that we have a claim of any kind of health repercussion, it's linked to a study.
Okay.
The people have called us anti-science. I read more science than I care.
I know.
But it is, we read a lot of science and we have a lot of advisors that make sure that the science is linked correctly. Yeah.
Yay. And that was my point of that is I feel like when kids get to a certain age, just for the parent needs to know. I think for the parent to be able to go there and see this and go, okay, I got to push a little harder because there is proof that this could damage my kid long term versus going, they're going to do whatever they're going to do. I can't do anything about it. So I'm going to let go. And then same thing, if like you said, it's a hard thing to take on. But if parents, especially in high school, if they had healthier options available, and if maybe the school districts knew some of this information, maybe they would do a better job. Maybe not.
There's a difference between controlling, especially with teenagers, they don't like that. There's a difference between controlling them and guiding them.
Right.
There's a difference between standing for somebody compassionately, mm-hmm. right? Like, I am standing for you to be healthy. I know you can do it. I trust you to do it. I trust you to make good choices. You have the opportunity to make good choices. And there's a difference between that and making them wrong and badgering them and doing all of that. Now, I'm not perfect. I have had my times of doing that big blowing up because of things like that. Because
you're compassionate, though.
Yeah, I'm passionate. I'm passionate at that time. I'm not sure.
I meant passionate. Sorry. I didn't mean to say compassionate.
Yeah, I am passionate. Yes.
Passionate. And we get it. We're moms. We want our kids to be super healthy. And we want them to live long lives. So and the more we discover...
Live up to their fullest potential. We want them to be able to give their greatest gifts to the world and live their fullest self-expression. And they can't do that if they're cranky and angry and not able to hold a job or don't have good relationships with their friends because of their gut dysbiosis going crazy because of the bacteria being fed by sugar and GMOs and glyphosate and all that. Yeah, it is a constant struggle. It's not always easy. But there are times when it is easy. And I thank God for those small graces where I noticed my kids saying one time when my son was 11, he was up late and I was like, what you doing? He's, I'm eating an onion and garlic sandwich. And I'm like, why are you doing that? He's because I'm not feeling good and I want to feel better for your birthday was the next day. Yeah. So there are times when your kids, they learn, they do learn, they do listen and they can make good choices. And so if you just keep showing them that you trust them and make the information available. Have them watch movies with you. Watch GMO OMG or Modified or Genetic Roulette or King Corn or watch some of these movies with them and let them educate themselves about what's going on in the food supply and make those choices, the choices for themselves.
And be that example too. I think
Obviously
you're very healthy. And so if your kids can see you eating that way and you being healthy, that's going to make a difference.
And they will sleep better. They will feel better. They'll perform better in school. They will notice they do better in sports. Just keep bringing awareness to that too, how they feel better when they eat better.
Okay. So what would you say to everyone out there? What's the best way the moms across America, obviously, is the first thing I think everybody should go to. I want to make sure I say that. But for somebody who's really turning the tables, because one thing I do think when I work with families, I believe that if you make too many changes too fast, you throw it and you make it very difficult for kids. So what's one of the first things would you say for a family that's eating GMO, that's not eating organic, not even eating whole and fresh? What is one thing they can start to do that you think makes the biggest difference?
Okay. The number one thing for the mom or the dad, I would say, is get my book because Unstoppable, Transforming Sickness and Struggle into Triumph, Empowerment, and a Celebration of Community, because you get the whole shebang there. And you get my whole story and you get all the reasons why and you get all the resources and you get information from doctors and scientists and chemists and just all farmers and all of that. But in your house, I think the first thing to do is to cut back on the sugar. The sugar and processed food is because that's all going to be GMO too and sprayed with glyphosate. And then it would be the grains. Get those grains switched out to organic. And I believe you'll start noticing dramatic differences right there. And please, for the love of God, parents with autism, stop giving your children Skittles as a reward. Please stop with the candy. Okay.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I know. I didn't even think of that, but yeah. Please, that's the thing why sugar should never be a reward, in my opinion, anyway.
Please stop.
Give them a dollar. My son would have been happier.
Or a quarter. I don't know. Something. But
depends on what age they are. Thank you for joining us. Your information is so valuable. And please, everybody, get the book. That's the thing. Your book, I'm guessing, is not on Audible because of all of the information in it. It's not something you can to somebody.
I will make a goal to get that done this year. Yeah, it really should be on Audible. I did record it, but then there were so many changes made at the last minute that it ended up not being a viable option. So I need to re-record it and put it on Audible. But it is available on Amazon at $17. It's not going to break the bank. And people who have read it said they've cried, they've been inspired, it's really been very meaningful for them. And we do have also our Moms Connect calls on Monday nights where you can and ask questions. I'm going to make myself available. And we have people from all across the country and experts from around the world that are really wonderful to connect with. And it's not a show, it's a conversation. So
is it free?
Yeah, it's free and it's on Zoom. So you can
join.
Yep.
Thank you. And they get to that by going to Moms Across America?
Yes. And signing up for our newsletter. Everybody who's on our newsletter gets that invitation. So open up your newsletters and see our calls to action and join us on Monday nights.
Yay. Thank you again.
Thank you. Really great to talk to you, Dee, and to Paul. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. It's me, Dee Dee, coming to you from my soul. I want to talk about courage. Today in my interview with Zen, I realized how important it is to have courage sometimes to stand up to others. Well, where do we get that from? For me, it's from my soul. Knowing that what's most important is to do the best things for my child, for their wellness, for their health. And so sometimes that takes courage to know what to do and how to do it. And sometimes we have to really have faith and trust in our souls to make the best decisions. And the other piece is that it's okay to ask others for help. Sometimes we don't have all the tools or all the things we need. But spiritually and soulfully, if we allow ourselves to realize what do we need to do, and that it's okay to have the courage to ask others for help, help us do what's best for our children. We may not always have all the answers, but we have a huge community around us. And if we trust in our soul and have faith, we can reach out and get what we need. Thanks for watching.
I look forward to running together with the wind at our backs, revealing the science that gives clarity in our world that's full of propaganda and misinformation. Visit our website, doctorsinscience.com. Sign up. Donate if you can. Your support makes a difference. And let's make this the weekly show the world has been waiting for. Thanks for watching. I'm Dr. Paul.